morning, Pop Chasers. Happy Tuesday, December 28th, aka the beginning of the week where you don't really want to do anything. You certainly don't want to work. You're hungover from either the booze or your family from the holidays, and you know you have to do enough just to keep your job. Meanwhile, everyone around you is testing positive for COVID, and you begin the fun game of, is that a normal scratchy throat because my apartment is bone dry? Is that allergies? Is that anxiety? Or is it the vid? And that is why we get tested, isn't it? I hope everybody had a holiday or just a weekend. I mean, whatever it is, whether you celebrate Christmas or you don't celebrate Christmas, or you want to pretend like you don't celebrate Christmas because things are really intense with your family right now, whatever it is, I hope you made it through to the other side. And I feel like New Year's Eve is always like a little less stressful because it's not as like family based. Shout out to my family. And so you can hopefully just relax with like a close group of friends, or go to bed at, I don't know, like 9 p.m. and say, see you next year. Peace out. I'm like saluting nobody right now, but whatever it is that you want to do, whatever is, it makes you happy inside, I hope you can do it. End of this week, I just want to say happy birthday to a dear, close, personal friend, Mr. Timothy Hal Chalamet, who turned 26 yesterday, Capricorn King. I mean, I don't actually know him, but being a Capricorn myself, I just felt like I needed to shout him out. And also, he and I not only are Capricorns together, I'm about 21 days away from my 30th birthday, put it in the calendar, but we also probably talked a lot about Don't Look Up this weekend, which is the first thing that I would like to discuss on this episode of Pop Chaser. So let's just get right into it. So Don't Look Up is like this juggernaut, I hope you like that word, of a movie. It's an Adam McKay special. And it's actually, I really enjoyed it. Now, it is not getting the best reviews. I think people, you know, is it heavy-handed? Of course. Is it like, how much star power can we throw into this without making people realize that maybe like the plot is suffering? Sure. But is it funny? 100%. I watched it with my mom and dad, and I was L-ing my A off, you guys. Truly was laughing my little ass off. And my parents weren't, because I just don't, it's not because they like don't believe in the climate, like climate change and global warming and stuff like that. They very much do. But it's just because like I just think that it misses them, like the humor misses them. I had to like explain a lot of the Jonah Hill jokes to them, which then suddenly makes it less fun for me. But I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed Meryl Streep as like a Trumpian president. I enjoy Jonah Hill as every single one of the kids that Trump has, every single one of them. And I just enjoyed, you know, you've got like an Elon Musk character. You've got J-Law in like a wig that I can't really wrap my head around, but I God bless her. Cate Blanchett, unrecognizable, also looks unreal. I just need to say something. New Year's Eve, like I was saying, no pressure holiday for me because I don't really like, I'm not a club person. I'm not going out. I'm not celebrating like in a big flashy way. I'm keeping it small this year. With that said, heretofore, there is a red sequin dress that Cate Blanchett is wearing. It's almost like Jessica Rabbit. Is that right? It's Jessica, where it's like this red sequin, like strapless gown. And it is stunning. It has like a black belting. It looks unreal on her. She looks phenomenal. She's like Megyn Kelly-esque. And oh my God, she just looks so good in it. Anyway, I'm staying in for New Year's Eve in my home, but I'm considering trying to buy that dress because it just looked unreal. So she was great. Obviously. Leo. I think that this is going to be one of those movies that like is going to be nominated. So you might as well watch it if you have Netflix, because if you want to participate in the Oscar conversation, it's accessible to you. You know, you don't have to go and get a ticket, which sounds so hard these days. There's like actually a lot of movies that I want to see, but it's not that I am not comfortable going to a movie theater, although like recent weekends and numbers could suggest otherwise. But it's more that like I have become so used to watching stuff on my couch and so used to being able to go to the bathroom easily, press pause, or go to the, you know, get some more snacks, that the concept of going to the movie theater, and I used to love going to the movie theater. It was so much fun. I would stop, and I hope you guys don't judge me on this. If I didn't get a bagel, if it wasn't like a 10 a.m. showing, which I've seen a lot, I saw the movie It with the clown, It, at 10 a.m. one time, and I ate a bagel during it. Sometimes I would stop and get Sweet Green, the salad place. I would get Sweet Green and bring that in. And I hope you guys don't judge me. Like, yes, I am somebody who's almost bringing in a four-course meal into a motion picture. But I do think that the movie theater on, what was it, 3rd Avenue and 86th or something like that in the Upper East Side, I think they wanted me to do that. They didn't mind because all they had was like the weird pretzel bites that were like rock hard, can chip a tooth on them. So don't look up. I do think that this is going to be something that like, I don't think everyone's going to get it. I'll say that. It is very, it's so like on the nose that I think that it's going to miss half of the audience that maybe needs to learn from it. It's just my opinion. But I really enjoyed it. There's one joke that I still laugh at, and that's when Jonah Hill calls Jennifer Lawrence's character Boy with the Dragon Tattoo. If you see her hair, you'll understand. She's got micro bangs, you guys, just like Daphne from Bridgerton, which I gave myself bangs this past week. And you're probably like, whoa, 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 Allison, are you okay? Is this a call for help? A crisis? This is a crisis, as Bethany Frankel says. It's not. And when I say I gave myself bangs, I mean, I cut about a quarter of an inch of my front, like they call them the money pieces in when you get your hair color, just the front parts of your hair, just cut them about an inch. So they were a little shorter for me. They still fit behind my ears. Everybody at work told me that they weren't bangs, but in my heart, they were bangs. And if I see them as bangs, and so they be bangs. Anyway, that was really funny. And then there's also like a running gag about having to pay for free snacks that I thought was really funny too. So don't look up. It's a very serious movie. I mean, it has very heavy implications on climate change and our Earth truly just like it coming to an end. And it makes you think a lot about like, how would you, this is not the normal Pop Chaser convo, but how would you want to, if the world was coming to an end, like what position would you put yourself in? You know, I think some people might be like, I'm going to rage. I'm going to go to a club. I'm going to just go out with a big boom. And I'm not going to know if it's the DJ or the club turning on the lights or if it's the, you know, the end of times. Some people, you might want to sit at the dinner table with your family and just, you know, talking about apple pie and coffee, whatever it may be. It makes you think. It really makes you think. Mine would probably be going out watching Law and Order SVU. She died the way she lived. Okay, let's move on to the next thing in the news. So the next thing I would love to discuss is if you were like me and watched Emily in Paris, all weekend, over the holiday weekend, then I would love to discuss everybody's favorite little expat, and that's Emily. This girl, I mean, she is an enigma in that, like, I can't understand why anybody wants to be friends with her. First of all, Cami, her loyal friend, who somehow comes around to her sleeping with her boyfriend, wouldn't be me. And also just like Emily's way of, okay, if you guys don't remember, season one ended with Emily sleeping with Gabrielle. Am I just making that up? I think I'm like, you know, you spend like one weekend watching a show that takes place in Paris and suddenly you think you can say everything with a French accent. She sleeps with him. He is like weirdly, like almost taunting her with it. And she's trying to hide it from Camille. And the way she decides to hide it is by like never being alone with her, but I'm not sure like how she thinks that will solve it. It's just like such a weird, the good news is there's Alfie. I don't want to say too much because I know some people are working through it, but Alfie is the new love interest in the show. And my, oh my, he's a beautiful man. He is also not from Paris, not from France. So they meet in her French class, which like, again, this girl has been there for how long and she has not picked up any of the language. I went to Paris in 2018. I have never spoken a lick of it other than like ballet class. And I mean, you can only get so far by saying pas de chat. Like I know chat is cat, but this girl has not picked up anything. So she has to, you know, retake her French class. She meets Alfie. Thank God she had to retake it. That woman was really, the teacher was really looking out for her. And yeah, Alfie is beautiful and he's not like a complete piece of shit. Like Gabriel is. I don't know why I'm suddenly like being weird about his name. I just am trying to figure out like why we're trying to like romanticize this Gabriel man, because he's so toxic and is a terrible boyfriend and was going to leave Camille to go to like open up. He was like gonna dump her if he didn't have the restaurant in season one. I just am not sure why anybody's rooting for him. And if you're rooting for him, like, I don't understand why the show is trying to make him end game. I don't get that at all. I also don't understand why Emily wears purses that rival that of Christine Quinn on Selling Sunset. She is always holding her phone, always. And her phone is, like, we got to get her a new phone case. We got to get Emily. I will start a change.org. We got to get this girl a new phone case because she's carrying that fugly phone case. Yeah, I said it with, it's huge. And then she's carrying a purse that's about the size of my pinky nail. And it's just completely impractical. Girl, you're traveling around the country. You're traveling in Paris. I almost got robbed when I was in Paris. And I'm not saying that like, that's something that happens all the time, but I just have to say like, you got to be more practical. That's just like, it's a no for me. I'm not saying she's got to wear an under bra chest strap purse, which I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. I did wear, and then it was disgusting because like, do you know, like holding a little card holder in your bra strap for like 5 days is disgusting. So I'm not saying she needs to do that, but like crossbody bags are cool now. Why is she? And I'm talking about like the cool, like the, you know, I have like the Lululemon one that like sits like on your chest. I'm shocked we didn't see that. Her outfits, flame, fire, obsessed. She is spending way more than she makes. And that's fine. Like, that's why we're here. We don't need her to live in reality. But I am interested to see what happens in season three. And I also would just like to ask, who is buying champagne? Champagne is that champagne that Camille's family makes, and it's like garbage champagne, and Emily and Savoie have marketed it as like a spray champagne. And in one scene, I think it's in like episode two, when they go to Saint-Tropez, Emily asks the waiters to film her being sprayed, her cute outfit sprayed by champagne. And I have like sprayed champagne before too, but like accidentally. And it's disgusting. It's sticky and it's not something you want to be spraying on your nice clothes. And I don't think it's like something that like the middle class will do. I think it's something like rich people would do. It's certainly not something that in season one, when they suggest that a Chicago sports bar would do that. Like nobody's doing that at a Chicago sports bar. I can promise you that. When like the Cubs win the World Series, like that's not a thing. And I just don't think like rich people want to ruin their clothes. I don't want to ruin my clothes, and I'm not rich. So it just makes no sense to me. I think that like, it just shows Emily does not know what she's doing in this job, and she should move back to Chicago and maybe just like go back to college and look into like a different focus in the industry. It's not that she can't, it's just like, she's just not good at it. Okay. And that's what I have to say about Emily in Paris. Also, oh, another thing, Emily is a Trekkie, apparently. Emily, you're not a Trekkie, and I'm not a Trekkie either. So, like, I don't know why I'm like, even I'm using the phrase Trekkie, but like, she's not a Trekkie. She says in like episode one that she's a Trekkie, and she's not. Okay, let's move on to the next thing, and that is, of course, Sex and the City. We didn't get to talk about this last week, and I apologize for that, but hopefully you've caught up. Again, like the holidays were so crazy that I feel like everybody on Sunday was just like, again, hungover on the couch, watching TV. And hopefully you watched Sex and the City, or I'm sorry, and just like that. And just like that, Carrie is continuously haunted by this goddamn Peloton. So Carrie has decided she wants to sell her apartment that she and Big had. It gets beiged up by Seema, who I am obsessed with. Now, Seema is one of the new characters on And Just Like That. She, to me, and I don't like being like, oh, she's the Samantha, but she is like, I would say the most Samantha that we've gotten of the new characters. And I do think would fit really seamlessly into the group. Now, here's the interesting thing about And Just Like That. All of these women are meeting new friends and they aren't commingling. And I do think that that is really a sign of adulthood. You know, I as I've gotten older, I have my work friends, I have my high school friends, I have my college friends. Guys, I'm having this 30th birthday party, hopefully, and I'm freaking out. Everyone's going to have to be in one place. What's that going to be like? How are they going to like each other? And so, like, Miranda has the professor, Carrie has Che, Charlotte has LTW. And now we also have Seema, but they never hang out together. It's not like Seema is going to brunch with the three gals. Now, I do think Seema of all of them could fit in the best because, again, she's kind of got that Samantha energy. And when I say Samantha energy, I don't mean she's going around, you know, sleeping with all the other Seemas in the world. That's something that Samantha did. If you guys remember, she had Sam Jones. I'm talking about that she called Carrie out on her bullshit. And that's something that rarely happens in the Sex and the City series. And it's about time that somebody puts Carrie in her place because she thinks that this whole world revolves around her. And I understand her husband just died, but I also understand that she did not call 911 quick enough. She did not. She really took her time. And at this point, I think Carrie like needs a wake-up call. I think Seema's gonna give that to her. I would just love to see Seema at that fourth spot at brunch. This also marked the last episode for Stanford, although actually I think his last scene was in the third episode when they were at that brunch and he kept getting hit by that kitchen door. This was like his goodbye episode, and there was like a title card at the end, which was really sweet, like an in memoriam. But I actually was really disappointed in Stanford's exit. And that exit was that he like followed a TikTok star to Asia, left Carrie behind, went in because, you know, it was just so hard on him, and then asked Anthony for a divorce. And all of this just feels so un-Stanford. And I actually kind of felt like in the beginning of the season too, the way that they were kind of painting him and Anthony was just not how I would have wanted to see them this many years later. But I was just kind of bummed. I felt like Stanny got fucked over by that. And so there's nothing we can do, unfortunately. Like Willie Garson has passed. So it's like that chapter has been closed. It's over. But I just personally was like disappointed in it. But again, I guess that's just this the way of life. Oh, but speaking of passing. Big, the Peloton made a resurgence, and that's because Seema thinks that a Peloton will really tie a room together. Said nobody ever. Because you know what the last thing that ties a room together is? A 200-pound piece of metal with red accents. It doesn't. And I trust me, I have a Peloton in my apartment, and it is an eyesore. And it's not like ugly, but it's just like not, it does not tie the room together, Seema. It was just kind of funny that she was able to bring one in so easily. Like, you just, you know what the wait time is for a Peloton? It takes a couple of weeks to get a Peloton. You got to bring it in and you got to get like the, and trust me, I know this more than anyone because, as I said last week, I've had quite a journey with my, with the Peloton people recently. I'm on my third bike. No fault of my own. And then, yeah, I think the only thing that I also want to touch on that isn't getting touched on enough is how I think the podcast guy is going to touch Carrie in a consensual way. I think these two are going to become a couple. I'm just saying, the guy, he's like a silver fox. He's really hot. I don't even know his name. He seems, he's always just kind of like lurking at the podcast studio. He seems like him and Carrie are going to fuck. I'm going to just say it. Those two are absolutely going to be a thing. And I'm not against it. I'm just kind of waiting because we only have like 4 more episodes left, maybe. I'm just kind of like wondering when we're going to get to it. And I know like Big's body is still warm, but I mean, Carrie probably hasn't even called 911 yet. But at this point, it's like, got to get her to move on. And then I keep thinking about how Aiden is going to come back. I'm sorry, this is so stream of consciousness, you guys, but like, how and why? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Aiden. Does not deserve Carrie. But then he pulled that BS move in Abu Dhabi and kissed her. But I know that I have said, I acknowledge all Sex in the City TV shows and motion pictures, but let's just pretend like that didn't happen. He doesn't deserve Carrie. Obviously, he's not going to come back and like try to sweep her off her feet. Maybe he'll come back as like a grief, like a, she needs to like kind of make amends with all of her past exes so she can move forward to that silver fox at the podcast studio. I don't know, but if he wants to podcast produce for me, I'm tech avail. And yeah, I'm just kind of waiting for that to happen. And then the final thing I wanted to talk about, because I know that we were talking about Peloton earlier with Sex in the City, is if you are a Peloton, this is kind of like a deep dive for those who are on, you know, who have a Peloton or maybe have the Peloton app, which is great because you can take advantage of this. Taylor Swift artist series. Well, it's technically Taylor Swift Red Taylor's Version artist series on Peloton dropped on December 25th. We on the dip, as well as like every Peloton Swiftie ever, predicted that this was coming. There were a ton of Easter eggs. Some of them were really, really small. Like at one point, I think one of the strength instructors said like, or no, one of the like running instructors said like, stay, stay, stay. While Olivia Motto made a mention of like a producer in like the Peloton studio named Meredith, aka one of Taylor's cats. Then there were the more obvious ones. Like they dropped the announcement on Taylor's birthday. They changed all of their icons to red emoji or red logos. Shout out red emojis. If you guys listened to the top 50 pop culture moments of 2021, which was last week's, I think it came out on Thursday. And so anyway, the Peloton Taylor Swift artist series, it dropped on Christmas Day. I have taken 3 classes. I just want to say I am a little personally disappointed. I'm not a big Swiftie, to be completely honest, but I do enjoy songs that I can sing to. And I don't think I want to hear All Too Well 10-minute version in every single artist series. Ride, strength class, core class, stretch class, whatever it may be. Unfortunately, that's what they're doing. So I was a little disappointed. I hope people don't come for me for that, but I do not hate riding to We Are Never Getting Back Together. So that, at least I have that. And I also have a bajillion other rides that I'm taking. And you guys, you know me, happy to talk Peloton with anyone who will listen, maybe even Carrie one day. But yeah, I hope everybody has a fantastic start of their week. We only have like If you don't count today, 3 more days. We can do that. We can get through 3 more days before the end of the year, even if you're doing the bare minimum. The bar is in the ground this week. So all you need is your TV, your remote, your laptop, where you can like move the mouse around to just keep it awake, so your company, like your employer, thinks that you're working. And we'll get through this together, you guys. And for legal reasons, if my employer is listening to this, I don't do that though. And I hope everybody has a fantastic Tuesday. Of course, you can check us out on thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. Until tomorrow with a brand new batch of headlines, I'm Allison, and I will see you then. Cheers.